Chapter 14. So, this is the scene of the crime, Ida said as they pulled up in front of an old Victorian. From outward appearances, it was hard to imagine that something sinister had happened inside. It was nicely kept, with off-white siding and purple trim.
Looks like a birthday cake, Ruth said as they walked up the steps toward the purple door.
She opened the door to reveal a small entryway. A set of stairs loomed in front of them. Old-fashioned, green-flowered wallpaper papered the walls. The floor was hardwood, scuffed from years of wear. To the right was a solid oak door with the number 2 on it. According to the case files, Rosa and Henry lived at number 2. Nance gestured toward the door on the other side of the hall, which had a number 1. So this one must be Mrs. Pettigrew. Ruth was standing closest to the door, so she knocked.
Who is it?
A voice drifted out almost before the knock stopped echoing. Clearly, Mrs. Pettigrew kept a close eye on the place and had seen them come in.
It's the ladies' detective agency.
Nance's voice took on an official tone.
We have some questions on a case, if you'd be so kind as to answer them.
Of course, Doris Pettigrew would be thrilled to answer questions. If she was truly the busybody that it sounded like she was, she wouldn't be able to resist the lure of gossip and finding out exactly what case the ladies were referring to. Lexi heard a series of locks clicking and chains sliding, and then the door cracked and a roomy blue eye appeared.
Do you have any credentials?
Of course.
Nan shoved a business card at her. It was in a laminate case, so it resembled an official badge of some sort. Doris snatched the card and pulled it inside. It took her a few seconds, but Nance's card must have passed muster, because the door opened and Doris said,
Come in.
Ida went in first.
Oh, this is unusual.
Lexi peered over Ida's head. She couldn't be sure exactly what Ida thought was unusual. There were so many things. It could have been the giant 4-foot-tall dolls that stood around the edge of the room. Or it might have been the knitted afghans that covered every surface. Or maybe it was the stuffed animals that were sitting on the couch as if holding a conversation. Then again, it might have been the herd of cats that was sniffing around Ida's ankles. Doris handed the card back to Nance.
I'm Doris Pettigrew, by the way.
They all introduced themselves, and Doris gestured toward the living room for them to sit. Ida gingerly plucked a large pink elephant off the sofa and put it on the floor, then took its place. A black cat immediately jumped into her lap. The rest of the ladies followed her lead, moving dolls aside, disturbing stuffed animals, and pushing cats out of their laps. Lexi sat in the only chair not occupied by a stuffed animal. The smell of mothballs wafted up as the rough wool of the crocheted granny square pillow irritated her arm.
Achoo!
Helen sneezed and pushed the fluffy tail of a white Persian out of her face.
God bless you.
Doris handed her a tissue.
Now, let's get to the point. I know why you are here.
You do? Nance petted the tiger cat that had settled into her lap. It was a tiny little thing with a white face and paws. Lexi could hear it purring from where she sat. Doris nodded.
It's about that killer across the hall, isn't it? I told the police he was no good. They didn't listen.
Ruth rolled her eyes.
Yeah, we know how that can be.
Achoo!
Helen sneezed in agreement and Doris added her another tissue. We heard that you filed a complaint. Nance bent down to pet the ginger-striped cat that was rubbing its cheek on her ankle.
Yeah, and if they'd done something, that nice girl might still be alive.
Doris shook her head and tutted.
such a shame.
Rosa, you knew her well? Nance asked.
No, not well, but she seemed nice. She would say hello in the morning and even helped me catch Bartholomew once when he escaped.
Doris smiled indulgently at a large black-and-white tuxedo cat lounging on top of a doily-covered mahogany credenza.
Didn't she? You naughty kitty.
Bartholomew blinked lazily, his green eyes glaring at them. Nans shifted in her seat and patted beside her for the orange cat to jump up.
What about Henry? Did you know him well?
Doris made a face.
He wasn't as nice. Actually, I guess I never really saw him that much. But you saw people coming to visit him that scared you, Ida said. Yes, some very suspicious characters came to visit. An old lady living alone can't be too careful these days,
Doris said.
Of course not, Nance agreed.
Achoo! Ruth nodded.
So, did these people come often?
Nance asked. Doris pressed her lips together and thought about that for a minute.
One lady did, and I'm using the term lady very loosely.
Ida leaned forward, and the cat jumped out of her lap.
Can you describe her?
Doris shuddered.
She was most unsavory looking. Young, dark hair. But the disturbing thing about her appearance was a snake tattoo on her arm.
Ida's eyes grew wide.
Snake tattoo? Yes, it was big and went all around here.
Doris gestured toward her bicep, around her arm, and down to her wrist.
It was garish, all black and red and green with gold eyes, and its forked tongue was sticking out. Very realistic.
Blech! Ruth pulled the cat in her lap closer.
Did you see this woman with Henry?
Nance asked. Doris squinted her eyes as if trying to picture if she'd seen Henry and the tattoo lady.
I'm not sure if I actually saw them together, but I saw her at their door plenty of times. I have no idea why Henry would take up with her when he had Rosa. She was so beautiful and so nice.
You mentioned that.
Helen glanced at her watch. Lexi imagined she was probably anxious to get back to her campaigning. There was only one day left for her to add to her voter count before the election.
It seems like you are very observant, Nan said. Why, thank you.
Doris shifted in her seat, beaming with pride.
So, the night Rosa died, you must have seen or heard something.
Nance leaned toward Doris.
Maybe something that could incriminate Henry?
Doris pressed her lips together.
Unfortunately, I didn't see or hear anything. Bartholomew was sick, and I spent most of the night in the back room with him.
Everyone turned to look at the cat, who simply stared back with his eerily intelligent green eyes.
Is there anything else you can tell us about Rosa's murder?
Nance asked. Doris shook her head, regret evident in her demeanor.
I wish I could. But the police have the killer in custody, so I imagine there's not much else that they need. I do hope he won't get off on some technicality. Oh, I'm sure the killer will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Well, I guess we've taken up enough of your time.
Nan stood, and they all followed her lead, pushing cats from their laps and replacing stuffed animals to their places. Doris walked them to the door, and Nance turned back to her once they were all out in the hall and handed her a business card.
Give us a call if you think of anything that could be of help.